One of the many customs we have on Rosh Hashanah is we have honey on the table. Usually all week long, Friday nights, we have a custom of dipping the challah, that's the bread, into the salt. Or we pour the salt on top. And on Rosh Hashanah night, it says we should dip the challah, or the apples, we'll see, into the honey, so they'll be cut up apples and honey. So what's the concept of honey? Why all year round we use salt, but on Rosh Hashanah we switch over to honey?
Should I have a sweet here?
Right, so that's why we say Shana Tova Mitzuko, to have a happy and sweet New Year. So definitely on a simple level, that's what it's true. That's what it's for, that we want to wish everyone a happy and healthy sweet New Year, and honey is sweet. So that's true. In addition to that, they point out that back in the days when we didn't have freezers, refrigerators, so the only way to keep something was to put salt on it. Salt's a preservative. Mm-hmm. That's, as you know, all the things, all the chemicals, all the stuff that lasts for like 3 weeks, or it's all full of preservatives. They're like a rock. That's healthy foods doesn't have a lot of preservatives, because that's why it's healthy. Mm-hmm. And you eat, and obviously you have to. And once it's spoiled, it's too late to put preservatives on. Mm-hmm. To preserve only something that's still good, and you put some preservatives to keep it good. So when you didn't have fridges and freezers, you needed it much more. Today you also need it, but you know, to a different extent. That's why I think they say if you go to the supermarket, you have to go on the outside of the store, meaning inside. But if you want, all the healthy stuff is on the outside. All the middle stuff is all full of, it's all preservatives and all that. So you usually have like the fresh milk, eggs, you know, meat. You have all that stuff on the end, the vegetables. And then everything else has the chips and everything else, you know, all the preservatives. So why do we have salt on the table all year round? Because it's based on what happened in the temple. In the temple, every time we brought a sacrifice, a korban, it says every sacrifice has to have salt in it. And why? And salt represented to preserve. You want to preserve the tradition. The same way the Kohen did it last time, so we do it again the same time. So very big into tradition. And Masorah, so the salt was to keep the tradition. We're showing, look, I'm doing it the same way my father did it, my grandfather did it, my great-grandfather, and therefore that's what the salt represents. And that's good all year round. That's what we want to show God. We are following in our tradition. However, when it comes to the night of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year, why is it the Jewish New Year? Why is it known as Judgment Day? Because in Jewish tradition, Adam and Eve were created on this day. So it makes sense. Every year, on the anniversary of creation, God looks over, reviews, and sees if he made the right decision or not, creating people. So every year, we have our 10 days of repentance from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, and 10 days, the Day of Atonement. And we try to show God that we're heading in the right direction, that we're trying to improve for next year. So Rosh Hashanah is all about change. That's what tshuva, repenting, really means. You become like someone else, meaning a good way. Ani acher is you're willing to change. You know, let's not change everything. The good qualities you leave, but the qualities, let's say, they aren't as good, or you could work on. So we try to show God that we're changing for the better. So the Gemara tells us, the Talmud tells us, that what's the quality of honey? That honey has the quality to transform something. For instance, the example they give is, if you have, let's say, a couple of pieces of, let's say, non-kosher chicken, meat, whatever, falls into a vat of honey. So we say the vat of honey is kosher. What about the meat? The meat disappears. The honey has the power to nullify anything that comes inside. That's the power of honey. Has the power of transformation. So that's what we do the night of Rosh Hashanah. We're not saying, God, we're not putting the salt on, you know, but it's going to be the same as last year, the year before. We want to show we want to become better and change. The honey represents our change. And that's why it's, what it says that our Torah, the Bible, is compared to honey as well. It's as sweet as honey. And in fact, it's even a greater change, because honey, if it's small pieces of meat, we say it gets transformed. If you have a full piece of meat, then you can't eat, then it's not going to work. But Torah, learning, you know, studying the Bible and prayer, that has the ability to change even a, so to speak, a full piece of meat, even a full person. So the concept of honey is, we have it the night of Rosh Hashanah, is to show God we don't want to, we're not stagnating, we're not staying the same, but we want to come even better. And furthermore, along those lines, to explain as well, what type of honey do we use the night of Rosh Hashanah? There's two types of honey they talk about. Generally, when the Torah talks about honey, it's talking about honey from dates, Dvash Tamarim, as it's known in the Bible. And those are the ones that are all sticky, sweet, and you see them, the honey dates. But interesting, when it comes to the night of Rosh Hashanah, they say to use Billy Bee, not actually Billy Bee, but bees from honey. And it's a whole discussion, even though bees are in kosher, but it goes through the process, so bee honey is kosher. So they point out that, why is it that we use, if all year round when we talk about honey, referring to date honey, so why the night of Rosh Hashanah do they specifically tell us to have bee honey? And in fact, you would think, have a sweet New Year, date honey is all sweet, it's all sticky, it gets all over, it's even sweeter than bee honey. So why in the world would you would they tell us to have Bernie, a piece of chocolate?
Yeah.
Here, dear.
See, we saved it for
special
you.
Special for you, Bernie.
Thank you.
See, instead of honey, we gave you chocolate.
That's
chocolate's
right.
Also sweet.
Oh, okay.
So therefore, what's the reason for bee honey? Because when we say have a happy and sweet New Year, so obviously it's nice to think everything's going to be perfect. We're going to have all happy things that are going to happen during the year. Everything's going to go our way. But unfortunately, that's not the way life works. Hopefully, you know, we have more good than bad, or different challenges, but things are going to happen, whether they're health challenges, financial, everyone, whatever, your children, whatever they might be, everyone has their own challenges. That's the nature of being a human being. Everyone has their own, you know, people think everyone, you know, they're the only ones with challenges and no one else has, but you know, really everyone has that. People, you know, some have objectively a lot more problems than other people, but in general, everyone has issues. So if you have sweet honey, so if you have to take the date honey, it's all sugar, all sweet. That's not real. That's not as sweet. That doesn't happen. Maybe in the next world it will happen. But what's bee honey? How do you get bee honey? These people got to dress up. They got to put on their armor and go in and attack, go into the hives, and they have a swarm of bees. And no matter what, some bees are going to get in underneath. You're going to get a couple of bites here or there. And therefore, that's what, to have a sweet and happy new, you have to realize there are going to be bumps along the way. That's why the custom is, we have a red apple. Usually it's a red apple we dip into the honey, because when you open the apple, it's all white. But all white is in reality. You can have a couple of bumps along the way. The red signifies, you know, be some blood, some difficulty. So we take, so to speak, on Rosh Hashanah, we take the red, the sweet apple, and put it to the bee honey to realize the ultimate happy year is, and then actually you even become happy. If things go your way, you take things for granted, and in fact, you're usually not so happy. It's usually the happiest people are the ones who've went through challenges and come through it. And let's say you work hard on something, and then you spent a long time working on a project, working on anything, and then finally when you finish, there's no joy like that. Things easy come, easy go. You don't work hard on, I mean, it doesn't have to be a job, anything you do in life. You work hard on something, and then you see the fruits of the labor. That's a real joy. You don't work so hard, you know, ultimately you don't appreciate it. Easy come, easy go. So that's what the concept on Rosh Hashanah. So we have the concept of it's Judgment Day, and therefore, even though normally we focus on the salt, usually at the meals, because that's a preservative, and we show God we're following the tradition, but it's not enough on Rosh Hashanah. We have to show God we're taking it to the next step. So we have the honey, which has the, just like the honey could transform anything that falls into it, so too we have the ability to change as well. And we realize that it's not going to be one, it's not going to be some dream world where everything's going to go our way. You have to realize beforehand that there'll be challenges, and if you're prepared for challenges, they're easy to deal with. If they just come in out of nowhere, you're just living in dream world and you don't realize what you're doing, and then sometimes you can't prepare for things that are going to happen whether we prepare or not. Then we have to deal, we can't control what's going to come our way. To a certain extent we can if it's self-inflicted, but generally speaking, if sometimes things happen coming from left field. So therefore, our choice is how we react to them and how we deal with them. And that's why we use bee honey, to realize that we're going to get bit by a couple of bees along the way, we're going to get some bumps along the way, but ultimately, when we rise above that occasion, that's the ultimate happy and sweet new year. Because when you rise above challenges, and the definitely will be challenges, that's true happiness, and that's what, you know, and that's what we pray for in our davening on Rosh Hashanah, to have a happy and sweet new year, to appreciate, you know, all the gifts. Because like it says in the Talmud, it says in one place, there's a prayer we say every day, it's called the Ashrei. Ashrei Yoshev Eisecha. It's a prayer we say every day in davening. It says one who says this prayer every day, it's a good sign they're going to get rewarded in the next world. And then on the other hand, the Talmud says elsewhere, we're familiar with the Hallel prayer we say on the holidays. One who says Hallel every day, it's a terrible thing. It's like you're cursing out God. The question is, they both come from the same book of Tehillim, the book of Psalms. So how could it be? I say one part of Psalms I'm the greatest. I say another part I'm the worst. Like, which one is it? Is it good to say this every day or not? So the commentators answer, no, it depends what we're talking about. Because Ashrei, that the prayer, or let's say Hallel, let's say, when do you say Hallel? Hallel is a prayer you say when a miracle happens. They crossed over the Red Sea, we got out of the Exodus from Egypt, we traveled 40 years in the desert. After a miracle happens, so then, you know, we say God breaks the laws of nature, we sing praise of Hallel. So one who only sees God when he does a miracle, you're as good as your last at bat. So you're missing the whole essence of God. Ashrei is in the form of Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, A, B, C, D. One who sees God in the everyday things. I'm so lucky I woke up this morning. I have two eyes. I could walk. The one who sees God in the everyday things, that's the person who's going to be happy. As we say in chapters of our fathers in Pirkei Avos, it says, who is the wealthy person? So it says the one who is happy with his lot, but they have a play on words. Usher, the word in Hebrew, rich. Usher is spelled Ayin Shin Yud Resh. So they point out the Ayin stands for Ayin, which is eyes. Shin stands for the mouth, Shinayim, teeth. Yud stands for hands, Yadayim. And Resh stands for Raglayim. Who's the happy one? The one who has their health, the one who has eyes, mouth, legs, and, you know, if you realize, you don't realize it, unfortunately, until you have a fall, you break your leg, or you hurt something, but that's human nature. You know, we're all like that. We're all going to appreciate something more when we don't have it. The goal is to try to appreciate it when we do have it. And therefore, that's why, and that's why it's always the power of contrast. So our goal is, you know, we're going to have, hopefully, hope it's only going to be a couple of bumps. Hope we don't have to break our leg to appreciate it. A little scratch on the leg I'll take, or whatever it takes. But the point being is, you know, that's what life's all about. Different challenges and how we deal. And that's what we spend during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Our extra days, you know, praying to God, you know, and giving the gratitude of all the good that he's given us, appreciating the good, and, you know, and hoping and praying, you know, not only for us, for our family, extended family, the whole Sholem village, the whole Hamilton, the whole community, to have a happy and sweet new year. Any questions, comments, alternative speeches?